When I begin, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can have a new experience of your truth. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay. So nobody thought my story was funny. That's okay. All right, tonight we're doing step 7, and from the drop the rock, we spent several weeks on step 6 in the introduction. For those who are new, we have some people early in sobriety. Step 1 is where we admit complete defeat over not being able to drink and use, and also not being able to manage our life. Anybody have that? Then step 2 is we're willing to believe and make a 180-degree turn from myself to God. And it's not just a simple belief. It's a true belief that God is there and can do it for me. Step 3 is where I make a decision that God is going to be my director. I'm not going to run my life anymore. I'm going to fire myself. And there's certain promises that come true in step 3. And you make a decision, and then you have to decide then if you're going to do the deal or not. Because if you just make the decision for God to run your life, nothing's going to happen. Because you can't follow through on it. Steps 4 and 5 is where we find the things in my mind from my being self-centered that have blocked me from God my whole life. I see the truth about my anger, my fear, my conduct, my shame and guilt. I see the person that I created, not God. And I'm able to see the exact nature of my wrongs, which are my character defects, which are the result of my being self-centered. And then they caused me to harm other people and to make my life a complete mess. And so I can see the truth about my thinking and my life. And I admit it to God, myself, another human being. And then what do I do with it? You can do a perfect 4th and 5th step, and you can even get like in the Hall of Fame of AA, 4th and 5th step, but it won't do you any good unless you follow with more action. See, I hear a lot of people talk about they do 4 steps every year and very extensive, and the character of the lies and the theater of the lies and all this. That's great. But what are you going to do with it? 6 and 7 is what are you going to do with the information you gain so you can change your personality and change the way you are. And in step 6, you have to be willing to let go of your self-centered character. Now, I've got, we'll give our new guy a card. And we have these cards that we've given out that Scott made years ago of the characteristics of a self-will. Anybody remember these? Anybody live these? Anybody good at these? Yeah, this is a good group. We're good at these. And then the characteristics of God. This is what we're short of. And my selfish, dishonest, frightening, considerate, prideful, greedy, lustful, angry, envy, sloth, gluttony, impatient, intolerant, resentful, hateful. That's the characteristics that I created by living in my self-centered world. But I think being interested in others, honest, courageous, considerate, humble, giving and sharing, doing for others, calm, grateful, patient, tolerance, forgiveness, love and concern for others, I think my life will be better. And I could see that in steps 4 and 5. And I'm willing to change. And we spent a lot on step 6 and what that means. Willing to let go of this. Now, it says at the end of step 5 in the big book that you've begun to have the first relationship with God by doing that step, and because you have now a relationship with God and conscious of God, you have a power in your life. And you have a power that you can keep you from drinking. And this power will also take away your character defects if you let them. And step 7 is where we humbly ask Him to remove them. And we ask Him all the time. 6 and 7 are the steps that change you. I do them every day, all the time, because I'll still see things through Michael-centered glasses. I won't like something, I'll be judged, intolerant, whatever. I have to stop and say, wrong glasses, Michael, take them off. Put on the God-centered glasses and God will take it away and practice the opposite. Step 6 and 7 is where you're going to practice the characteristics of God. Anybody think that's a good idea? And you want to practice them. And the more you practice being loving, tolerant, considerate, kind, compassionate, the better you get at it. And you don't like to be judgmental and separated and disturbed and angry and fearful, right? And inconsiderate and intolerant. And so now we're going to look at step 7 from the book Drop the Rock, which is really great. And it's really changed my life. They wrote another book called The Ripple Effect about step 10 and 11. And I'm reading it, and I think we're going to cover some of that. It's really good stuff. It's by the same authors. But today we're going to do step 7. I don't know if we'll cover all this today, but it's really, I worked through it, and we're going to probably do half of it, and it's really good stuff. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So we're going to talk about humility and what it means to be humble and how that's so important. Now, alcohol humbled me, and my energy, my life humbled me to become, to gain humility. Alcohol, I surrendered not because I wake up and wanted to, because I was. I was completely surrounded and the guns were pointing at me. It wasn't like I woke up and said, I'm going to surrender today. No, it was bad. And I was surrendered. And so I had to just put the gun down. And that makes you pretty humble, doesn't it? And so it says the key ingredient in living the seventh step is humility. Now I looked up humility. It says a low view of one's importance, the opposite of pride. Anybody think pride in an alcoholic is good? Well, it can be good. You can be proud of things you've done. But when you have self-centered pride, it's a sin. Because you're proud on the way you think people see you. You have an overinflated importance of yourself. You think the whole world revolves around you. And then when you have this overinflated importance of yourself, you also have an inferiority complex. And so it's a bad thing. The sin of pride is a killer for an alcoholic. Understand, and I wrote understanding the necessity of God in my life. Without God, I'm nothing. Anybody agree with that? So that to me is to be humble, to understand, admit my powerlessness. I just wrote these. And I wrote, become teachable, open-minded, willing to let go of all my old ideas, and be looking to uncover, discover, discard all that isn't God. And we're going to talk about that and spend some time on it. There's not another subject in the program that causes more confusion than humility. It seems that every old-timer has his or her favorite definition. We all seem to get humility and humiliation confused. And many of us have a stereotypical idea of humility, a spiritual pauper wearing sackcloth and ashes. And it's hard to understand humility in our society. I mean, just look at the news. Look at the things that are going on, the way who we think is important in our society, what people think is honorable. And but the 12-step way of life is humble but not meek. I looked at meek. It says go along with whatever other people want, putting your feelings aside as being unimportant. The picture many of us have of a humble person is someone afraid of his or her own shadow, whose self-image is so low that this person is afraid to stand up for him or herself. And we learn that this image of humility is not what is meant in the program. We realize that the people who have stayed abstinent for some time practice a degree of humility that was foreign to them prior to recovery. For those who have made progress in the program, humility is simply a clear recognition of what and who you are. So you have an honest opinion of yourself. Now, how do you do that? By taking a searching, fearless moral inventory of yourselves, you can see a clear recognition of who you are. They have gotten down to their own right size. Now that's important for an alcoholic. Humility is understanding that they're worthwhile. It's the middle ground, I like this, between extremes of grandiosity and intense shame. See, we're always at the ends of the spectrum. You know, we're either grandiose with intense shame, and I wrote, we're egomaniacs with an inferiority complex. And I think that's true. We're egomaniacs, but we feel inferior all the time. And since we're egomaniacs, our feelings are always hurt, right? And so then we get into self-pity. Anybody get into self-pity here ever? I'm the only one. Work with a lot of new people. You hear the self-pity song a lot. They have a sincere desire to be and become the best they can be. We talk about that a lot. 6 and 7 is being the person God created. You can't ever be better than that. And then if you're the person God created, then you're going to feel good about yourself because you know you're following God's will. I listened to this speaker today. It was powerful. I sent it to a couple of the guys. But he was talking about Galatians chapter 5, and it's, I don't know, verse 12, 13 or 14, and it is about we have freedom, and we have freedom when we love our neighbors as ourselves. And he at the last 5 minutes, he talked about it. He was talking about the whole program. He says the only freedom we have is when we're following God's will, and we're free from the bondage of self. And Corey said that so beautifully on Monday. We're relieved of the obsession with me and the bondage in my self-centeredness. And the only freedom I have is being in God's will. And then he talked about their scripture that talks about your life will never be successful if you're living in self-centeredness. Isn't that what we talk about? And the only success you'll ever have is when you have a God-centered life. And that's what we talk about in AA. That's the deal. It says, we remember humility is not being weak, it's being my true self. So I don't have to be angry and fearful and intolerant and judgmental. I don't have to be that way. And I have to understand that I'm a child of God, and we're all God's children. We're all equal, right? And so it puts me in the right size. We were talking tonight about we walk hand in hand down the path of spiritual progress. None of us are ever any better than anybody else. We're all here together. We're all God's kids. And I like this. Remember, we are as humble as we are grateful. And we had a thing on gratitude Monday at one of the meetings. Humble as we are grateful. The more you realize what God has done for you and everything that's happened to you, how can you not be humble? And humble means that you understand the power of God in your life and you want to seek it. Don't we say God can and will if he saw it all the time? And humble makes you a seeker. See, humble is good. It makes you a God seeker. And it takes you away from being a self seeker. And he wrote, Reverend Shoemaker said, humility equals gratitude. I love that. And you recognize, I wrote, you recognize the grace of God and the power in your life. It makes you humble. And I love when Joe and Charlie end their talk. They spend 12 hours on the big book and they say, nobody here should be alive today. When you think about it, nobody should be sober, nobody should be alive. If that doesn't make you humble, I don't know what will. And it says humble is an attitude. And we talked about we want to change our personalities and changing our attitudes and outlook on life. And humility is an attitude. It's a change away from being this grandiose, egocentric, inferior person to somebody that just wants to seek God's power and be the person God created. And I talk, and on page 62, it talks about the proper attitude. I have to be the actor, not the director. The child, not the father. I work for God. Does that make sense? And he will give me everything I need if I stay close to him and do his work well. And so it's a change for when we come in here, and it's what the spiritual experience is all about. You're changing your attitude. You're becoming more humble. Remember Bill W. in Bill's story, he wrote, simple but not easy. A price has to paid. Anybody remember what it is? The destruction of self-centeredness. Isn't that what we're doing? We're becoming humble. We're destroying our self-centered personality and becoming a God-centered person. And that is required that we be humble in seeking. It says it must become a discipline to be developed. Does anybody pray when they first wake up and say the prayer, God, direct my thinking, divorce it from selfish, self-centered motives? You know, do you ask God to help and direct your life the first thing or second thing you do? That's a form of humility. Do you ask God all through the day how he can direct you? Do you seek God whenever you're disturbed? You see, it becomes a discipline. So I know now I don't need a drink. If I'm disturbed, I need to get back to God and out of me. And getting back to God is a lot better result. It's worked better for me. I suggest it's worked. I can recommend it. And the other thing is, whenever I am aware and I seek God, he's always there. It always happens. I always get back to him. And it says, in developing humility, we're faced once again with an active surrender. I like that. We're going to surrender all the time and asking God to remove our shortcomings, which we did in step six. It says, I must move and act in a manner that reflects my willingness and surrender. So that's what step seven is, humbly asking him to remove them and moving towards God and acting in a manner that reflects my willingness and surrender. So if I'm angry right now, I can stop. And I can say, you know, I don't want to be angry. I'm away from you, God. God, remove my anger. Help me be kind and loving right now. Change the way I see it. Now, if you do your four step, you know the four prayers you say to be free of anger. You do them right away. I get tired of saying them, so I just say, God, remove my anger. I'm seeing it wrong. We're all God's kids. They are who they are. And so you're constantly aware of this. And so you must move and act. The more willing you are, the more surrender, the more humble you are, the more you're moving and acting in that manner. So it's a process. And they talk about what's required. We're going to look at a few of those things. They say the first aspect of the seventh step we'll look at is spiritual values. And they say this is going to give a discussion, must be a clear focus on humility. What exactly is humility? They're going to talk about it more. And you know, we don't have enough meetings on humility if you think about discussion meeting. I mean, it's the deal. Defines humility as the state or quality of being humble of mind or spirits, absence of pride or self-assertion. It's the opposite of being self-absorbed or a proudful person. Acts of self-abasement. Now, it doesn't mean it's bad to have that. It means it sets you free from the bondage of self. You see, you get free. The more humble you are, the more freer you are of your self-centeredness. Humble is defined as having or showing a consciousness of one's defects or shortcomings. I love that. Willing to have them removed. You become conscious of the left-hand side. You can see it. And you're conscious, and so you know when you're short of something, and then you can seek to be the opposite. Does this make sense? And you can't become aware of the left-hand side till you come in here and work the steps. Because you can talk about it. A lot of people talk about their self-centeredness. But until you see it in your fourth step, you can't see it, how it's dominated your life and it's made you fearful and angry and harm people. It says we made decisions out of self which caused us to be harmed. Remember that? On page 62, I made decisions out of self that not only caused me to be harmed, but caused me to harm a lot of people. It says, obviously, the second issue of humble is almost a word-for-word statement of the purpose of the sixth step. To become entirely ready, conscious, entirely ready to have God remove all of this. If we practice the sixth step, humility will result. That seems to make sense, doesn't it? Still, it seems as if something's missing. And I wrote, become entirely ready, conscious. I wrote, conscious of my powerlessness. conscious of my self-centeredness, conscious when separated, conscious that these character defects occur because I'm away from God. And I couldn't see that when I came in here. I don't think any of us could we? And it takes time. And as you do this, you see them more. And you see them more quickly. Step 10 is all about watching for your character defects. When they come up, they ask God to remove them. It's not that complicated. Michael, you got your character defects. How you feel? I don't like it. Come back to me. This is God talks to me. Come back to me. I'll get rid of it. It works. Humility is our acceptance of ourselves and also other people, I believe. It's strange how we can go to school and learn a lot of facts, but never learn much about ourselves. You can take up nursing, teaching, counseling, giving yourself to needs while not having our own needs met. Why does it seem as if it's easier to solve the problems of the world than to solve your own problems? And I wrote, I don't see my problems, I see their problems. Anybody else do that? Yeah, I'm very good at that. And I don't see my own problems, so how can I solve them? But remember, I have one problem, it says in AA. Lack of power, right? I don't have a power to live. So if I'm connected to the power, then I have no problems, because God will help me react in a spiritual manner to whatever's happening out there. We simply don't know ourselves. We look into a mirror and attempt to understand ourselves. Our conclusions about what we see are usually very different from what a friend sees. When we finally work the 6 and 7 steps and take the time and make ourselves a priority, we usually make a startling discovery. And this is good. We talked about this Sunday night, and we agnostic. There exists within us at all times a higher power. We have the fundamental idea of God, right? But we blocked them out. And when we see our true selves, we see the person that God created, not the one I blocked out by calamity, pomp, or worship of other things, remember? And here it says, the higher power is the builder of all successes and our comforter during times of trial. And I think that's a powerful statement. He's my comforter. And success doesn't mean material success. It means successful living, being able to be of service to God and others. Many of us believe that understanding of ourselves is in direct relation to our understanding and contact with our higher power. I think what they're talking about here, and I hope it's clear, understanding myself is understanding God's will for me. How my vision of God's will for me, how he wants me to be. And the more I understand my higher power and have contact with him, the more I'll understand the person that God wants me to be. And if I understand that and seek it and let go of the person that isn't the one God created, my life will change. The image we see and the identity we have is one of humility before the power. Because I understand that my true self, I wrote, is the one that God created, that my true self is the one that I created, not the one God created. My true self is the one that God created. I can't read my own writing. I'm old. John, leave me alone. Yes, my true self is the one that God created, not the one I created. Now, I didn't know that when I came in here. And the more I see it, the more I see my separation quicker. And I know there are people here who talk about, and then we're talking about emotional sobriety, right, Paula? This is what we're talking about, which we've talked about a lot. This is how you get emotional sobriety, is being able to see when you don't have it. And so you seek it. And we have an image and identity as humility before that power. Humility is our acceptance of ourselves based on our continual surrender. And I wrote, acceptance of myself, of what I am not, the person of what I am not. How, what I mean by that, I don't have to be angry, fearful. I don't have to be intolerant and judgmental. I can continue surrender. I don't have to be that person. An aspect of humility is often talked about at meetings is that of being teachable. I was talking to my friend Bruce today from Minnesota, and he was telling me that he likes that definition. If I'm teachable, it means I'm open-minded. Now, who would teach me each day? Could it possibly be God? And could he be teaching me through other people? And so if I'm teachable, I'm open-minded, I'm open to God's message through others. And if I'm not teachable, I'm usually back at self and judging, right? And so if we are humble, the opposite of self-centered, and I wrote the opposite of legalism. I talk about legalism. I see a lot of legalism in AA. People have rules. They tell me rules. You can't do this, you can't do that. And I say, well, who told you that? They said, well, it's in some manual somewhere. I said, well, why'd you change your mind? Well, no, I don't want to change my mind. I'm right. And you see, teachable means you think you're right. You're not open to see when you're wrong. And isn't that what we want to do, is be able to see when we're wrong all the time so we can let go of it? The more I see I'm wrong, the better I feel, because I don't have to hang on to wrong things. I was very good at hanging on to the stuff that was killing me. See, I wanted to fly a hot air balloon, but I kept putting more bags of sand on it. And now, when I live now, I'm looking to throw the sandbags off. And before I came in here, I just kept adding more sandbags. And then I said, why isn't flying? Well, there you go. It says, if you're humble, you're open to new ideas and new ways of seeing things. And isn't that what we talk about? Isn't that what the set-aside prayer is? Open-mindedness is a very important part of humility. We don't know it all. In fact, I don't want to know it all. And there's still more we can learn. And I can't learn and have more revealed from God if I'm not open-minded. Remember, it says on page 164, God will reveal more to you and others. And it's a constant source. And the more you do this, the more you see. And what I see is what I'm wrong about. So I don't have to live on lies, and I don't have to practice things that aren't God. It's great. I can't explain how powerful it is. And if you're new, you just start the journey, and then it just happens. And maybe even more important, we need to unlearn. Yet how many of us in the program aren't open to new ideas and thoughts? I think you can stay sober, not drink physically, and be a mess. I think there are people who do it, they're angry, they're unhappy. And after, I don't know how long they can live like that before they do drink again, but some of them don't. But they're not open-minded. And they're very judgmental and intolerant. And we all can get that way. But I like to use these steps so that I don't stay that way at night into the next day. Because at night we're supposed to inventory, where are we selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, afraid, self-seeking? And I don't want to carry that over. And so if you work steps 10, 11, you're working 6 and 7. Especially if they're having been around a while, how many do we see who continue to say and do the exact same things year after year? It seems that many of us resist a clear idea of humility so we don't have to conform to it. We had a saying when I was an intern and resident at University of Chicago, because we all thought we were really smart, you know. We were hot stuff, you know. It's very prestigious, and we're the chosen ones, right? God, I was so obnoxious. But I still have, all right, thank you. All right, the group's on me. They're probably right. I have my moments. Anyway, we had these attendings, and they were a lot of very excellent researchers, very well-renowned in their field, but they didn't practice a lot of clinical medicine. So we used to make fun of them, because we knew everything, right? And we used to say you can have 1 year's experience 30 times, or you could have 30 years' experience. And isn't that what you want in AA? You want to have years of experience, and isn't that what we're sharing in Experience the Big Book, instead of just 1 year of experience? And so, we have to remember that, because we're not going to stay humble if we start taking back. Does that make sense? We have to constantly understand how we're powerless without God. And remember that we never have a power choice to drink, right? We only have the power to choose to seek the power that does. And remember, I have to have a power to live. God can and will be that power if I seek Him. If I stay humble, I'll keep seeking. If I get back into Michael, I'll seek a little less each day, right? And then after a week, a little less. And then over time, and after a year, you start getting really disturbed. So that's why it's a continuous thing, and I'm going to stop there. And if you could bring the handout back next week, that's the one you're holding, it would be appreciated, but I always have more copies. Thank you.